Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt den Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tesche! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und hier ist Botzen, macht das Tor.
Und er ist drin. Buchmann, Buchmann, Buchmann macht das zweite Tor. Da ist das Tor. Der zählt das 2:2. Dresden ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch, der setzt an zur Flanke, da kommt der Ball, Tor, 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 Tor.
We welcome you back to the Zweite Bundesliga podcast, your home for all things second division in Germany. I'm your host Matthew Karagic. It's a pleasure to have your company. We know we've been keeping you waiting for a couple of weeks, but we are back and ready to rumble. Plenty of football to go through. We, of course, are going to have a little look back at match day two. There were some big results in that fixture. Those fixtures, of course, the Pokal was on the weekend. We're going to have a little delve into there, see how some of the Zweite Bundesliga clubs fared in those games. And, of course, match day three, back to league football, as it were. And we'll be starting our preview for those fixtures towards the end of the program. We also have some fan questions. We have plenty to get through. So without further ado, let's kick off. But first, we have to introduce our panel of experts to help me delve through all the wonderful and weird things that happen in this crazy league. Of course, making her return from a music festival, and our honourable Armenia Bielefeld fan, it is the wonderful Eva. Eva, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Fantastic. And this man really needs no introduction, but he'll get one nonetheless. He is one of the best commentators going around in world football. He was busy doing some stuff for the Pokal. If you heard the Würzburger Kickers Hoffenheim game and the Wiesbaden Köln game, you would have heard his wonderful voice. Derek Ray, good to have you on, sir.
Nice to be with you, Matthew and Eva. And in addition to the Pokal recently, I had the chance to be in Bochum and in Darmstadt getting my fix of Zweite Bundesliga. So, yeah, it's a good time to be talking about all of this.
That it is. And we will start, in fact, with that Bochum and Armenia Bielefeld game. If there was a perfect advertisement for the Zweite Bundesliga, it was this game. A first half that was tactically cancelled out by both sides, but it really livened up in the second half. It was a 3-3 draw. Vogelsammer in close scoring twice within 3 minutes to give Bielefeld the lead. And then a crazy period in 11 minutes. Bochum took the lead. Zimon Zola's goal giving them the 3-2 lead. And then Toto Lasia, so unfortunate own goal, sharing the points. Eva, I guess we'll start with you, being that you were in the guest block. Run us through the game, the whirlwind of emotions, and the end result, the feeling of having a share of the points.
Well, I think there's not much to say about the first half, except that I didn't see much for the first 5 minutes or so. I still coughed blue after a week, so yeah. No, but that second half, really good start from Armenia, I'd say. And then, yeah, I think this game symbolizes how Bochum and Bielefeld stand this season. It's all a bit stupid, but good on the other hand as well. I think in the end, the draw was the deserved result if you look throughout the game. I think that game didn't really deserve a winner, or as Uwe Neuer said, it was more or less decided by the team that was a bit less stupid, and because no team was that team, this was the result that it had to be. What I want to point out is that for example, Klose at the end of the game, he just went straight to Lucia to say, okay, it's fine. And I really like that. I think that's something we need in football, with everything going around with Hiata, etc. So that's something you can look up to.
Yeah, you got to love that sportsmanship. When you think of these players as gladiators in the grand arena, and at the end of the game of what was a very spirited contest, at times heated, it's good to see the embrace between two great warriors of the game. Not sure how you saw it, Derek. I found this game thoroughly entertaining, especially in the second half. And really, I kind of can't help feel that Boca might feel a little bit shortchanged with the result.
Yeah, and I can say that having been at the opposite end of the ground to Eva. Now, she was, as you said, in the Gästeblock. I was in the Osttribüne with the Bochum regulars. I would recommend that, by the way, to anyone. If you want to just take in a game as a neutral and have a laugh with fans, the Bochum crowd are great fun. And they do love their football. They love their team. And I think this was, in many respects, sort of typical of what Bochum are going to be this season. I think there will be some attacking football. I think there'll be some defensive howlers. I actually was thinking after the game, this match was rather like two teams having to share a bratwurst, getting half a bratwurst each. But what I would say is that Bielefeld at least managed to get a little bit of mustard on their half bratwurst, thanks to scoring right at the end. Who thought they had won the game, and then of course had to experience that bitter taste of a draw under those difficult circumstances. And it was interesting to listen to Robin Dood afterwards, and he was really furious about the way Bochum handled those last couple of minutes in stoppage time, having had the lead, didn't do enough to batten down the hatches and make sure that was a victory. But I mean, there was some individual moments of brilliance, particularly from Sylvain Gonvula for Bochum, who I think really sort of led the charge when they were 2-0 down. And those two Bielefeld goals early in the second half, I think, took the Bochum fans by surprise. But yeah, I mean, this was in many respects, after, as Eva said, a poor first half. This was, with regard to the second half, the Zweite Liga in microcosm and what we love about it, and sort of typical of some of the games we saw last season. But we'll be hard-pressed to find a better second half than that one that we saw in Bochum on the Friday night.
Without question, but this is the Zweite Bundesliga after all, so it may happen on a number of occasions. Yeah. We'll go to Nürnberg next. They hosted Hamburg. Of course, this was, in many respects, the Dieter Hecking derby. You could also call it the Tim Leibold derby. But this was nothing but not a contest. 4-0 was the final result. Dudziak, Kittel, Narai, and a Tim Handwerker own goal, compounding Nürnberg to an astonishing defeat. And Derek, I'm not entirely sure many of us expected this kind of result. It's not only from Nürnberg, but from Hamburg, who looked really switched on in this one.
Really switched on and totally deserved. And I think there were signs in the previous match against Darmstadt that this is a new Hamburg, a much better Hamburg than the one we saw last season, much more confident and playing with a lot more purpose. And they really wiped the floor with a disappointing Nuremberg on that Monday night. And, you know, if this is a portent of things to come for Hamburg fans, then I think they're going to enjoy themselves this season. Nuremberg are not a bad side, but they were made to look pretty ordinary, I think, during this game by a very clinical Hamburg. And, I think an awful lot to look forward to. And it would not surprise me if Hamburg are comfortably in the top two at the end of the season. For Nuremberg, it sort of begs the question, are they going to be good enough? Or was this just an aberration? Was this just a game that got away from them? Especially as the match went on and Hamburg scored a couple of goals towards the end to absolutely put the seal on victory. But if you're a Hamburg fan, yep, cause for plenty of encouragement on the back of this one.
Yeah, it was domination personified and something that we probably expected them to do last season, but they weren't able to do on a number of occasions. They were very strong away from home last season, not so much at home, but they were clinical, decisive and execution personified. We'll move to Karlsruhe. What a result for them. 4-2 over Dynamo Dresden. And it's that man again, Philip Hoffmann. He's going to be the burden of me all season. He scored twice. a real clinical display by Kaiser. They go top of the Zweite Bundesliga. Dresden to the bottom. Eva, you know, I guess with Dresden we had our doubts, but Karlsruhe, their opening display, and we'll talk about them in the cup later on. They look grounded. They have a deadly offensive attack, and they just keep finding ways to score goals.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I watched that game, especially as Yeah, shit-talking Philip Hoffmann at the season preview, and he more or less scored 3 goals in this game, because I think he kind of gave the assist for the own goal by Dennis Bunic. I was really, really surprised by the whole way they're playing football. I really like it. It's going to be tough for every side to play Karlsruhe this season on the ground, which games I saw, which are 3 with the Pokal included. I think they have the quality to not really have a lot to do with relegation. I won't say they will stay up there, because it's just too early to say. They're difficult games coming their way, because playing against Wien and Dresden, I wouldn't say this is how you can see how they plan out the whole season. But yeah, I'm really surprised in a good way.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It is too early to really put a marker on them, but they've looked very competent in attack. They look strong on the ball, doing everything right, and you know, they cannot complain. They look good, but we need to see what they look like against the likes of the Hamburgs and Stuttgarts and the like. So we'll wait and see on them, but so far so good for them. We'll go to Darmstadt. 2-0 victors over Holstein Kiel. Tim Skarka and Serdar Dursun getting on the score sheet. Derek, this was a game you were at. Tell us how you viewed the game, and what were your impressions of Darmstadt at home?
Well, first of all, I viewed the game from the Jonathan Heime Südtribüne. That is the end of the ground that was named after the late, sadly, Jonathan Heimes, who had been a lifelong Darmstadt fan, but sadly lost his life to cancer a few years ago now. And I thought it was a very nice touch by the Darmstadt fans to name the tribune, the end of the ground where most of the singing and shouting goes on in honour of him. But Darmstadt in this game maybe gave us a signal of what they're going to be all about in the current campaign. And it was very much clinical football, all about doing the right things in the final third, even though they didn't have nearly as much of the ball as their opponents, Holstein Kiel. But I thought for Kiel, it was meaningless possession, really, and didn't create much of a threat. Skarke scored that goal very early on in the game, and I thought he was probably the best player, the liveliest player from start to finish. So a lot to like about Darmstadt. You know, this is what I think they're going to do under Gramotzis, is be that kind of team that is not obsessed with keeping the ball, but is more obsessed with what they do when they have the ball and lightning the fast counter-attacks. Worked very well against Kiel.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his proactive approach. And we spoke about it last season when he came in, someone that Bochum viewed very highly in the coaching ranks, and he seems to have done quite a good job already. You know, he's had a full preseason to work with the team. He's brought in the kinds of players he wants to bring in. Obviously, Skarke coming from Heidenheim, and so far so good. They've been able to find solutions where they've lost players. They've strengthened the squad, but again, it is early days. But they've had 2 very good results in league play. Other results from matchday 2: Heidenheim's 2-2 draw with Stuttgart. Hanover coughing up a 1-goal lead to draw with Jan Regensburg. St. Pauli, 3-1 defeat at home to Greuther Fürth. Julian Green scored an absolute beauty on 70 minutes to give them all 3 points. Erzgebirge, our 3-2 winners over Wien Wiesbaden. And Osnabrück got their first win since returning to the Zweite Bundesliga, a 1-0 win against Sandhausen. Eva, any of those results really stick out to you?
Yeah, probably the St. Pauli Fürth game. For me, it's something that confirms what we've said so far, that we don't really know which way St. Pauli is going. Of course, something that added up to that whole game is the injury of Avovo. I think he was in surgery yesterday. It's a huge throwback for St. Pauli to miss their captain. But all in all, it was horribly offending. For example, at the 2-0, I think Honshu was way too much away from Caterwell, I think. But as he said, amazing distance shot by Julian Green. I'm really worrying about Sampaoli.
Yeah, I think we definitely spoke about them at the start of the season in our preview, that they were the team that we felt was going to struggle. They haven't looked convincing. They, as we'll talk about in the cup in just a moment, really struggled against Lübeck. Yeah, it's not looking good for them so far, but you know, they're still a long way to go in the season. Derek, any of those results really eye-openers for you? Or?
Yeah. The one that caught my eye was Hannover at Jan Regensburg, because I did think Hannover would be a bit too strong for their opponents. And I know that you guys have discussed this on the podcast before. It might be a difficult season for Regensburg with the coaching change, having lost Achim Bayerlotzer. But this was a really good result for them, and they had the wherewithal to come back after Hendrik Weidand to put Hannover in front. Mistake by Ron-Robert Ziele for the equaliser. This maybe tells us that the lower reaches of the table, if Regensburg are in the lower reaches, of course, they might surprise us again and be sort of mid-table or higher. But I think the general expectation is that it might be backs to the wall for them. But it could be very competitive in those lower positions. And Hannover, I'm beginning to sort of have one or two doubts about, and we'll probably talk about them a bit later in the context of the day at Bepokal. But I'm wondering if it's going to be straightforward for them at all in terms of returning to the Bundesliga.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It was a really good fight back from Regensburg, where Hannover had the chances. They were aptly denied a penalty, which was pretty clear cut before the Weidand opener. It certainly seems like it might be one of those seasons for Hannover. But again, way too early to talk. For me, the big result was Heidenheim. Coming from two goals down, they gave up two cheapy goals within the space of 5 minutes. I thought Robert Leipertz has been really good. He was great in the cup on the weekend as well. Same with Nicholas Dorsch. He was fantastic in this game. It was given an own goal, but I'm pretty confident that it should have been his. It was on target, so to speak, but the Kempf deflection got it in. Good result for them, and they're probably going to showcase to us that they might be one of those teams that aren't particularly large, but they're gonna fight with the big boys, and I think they're one of those teams that will definitely put themselves in the hunt. Maybe not for promotion, but they'll be around the place, and they'll cause a lot of good, like high quality teams like the Stuttgarts, like the Hamburgs, some grief. We'll take a quick break, and we're going to talk cup football, the DFB Pokal first round, in just a moment. Round one of the DFB Pokal took place on the weekend. 18 Zweite Bundesliga sides were in, 13 remain, as the second round is drawn on Sunday, the 18th of August, with Christopher Metzelder and Stefan Kuntz a part of that draw. It will be quite interesting to see who draws who, and here are the results from those games. The losers were Sandhausen. They were beaten 1-0 at home to Gladbach. Nürnberg did enough against Ingolstadt and Nikola Dovedan. Late goal, enough to see the club through. Erzgebirge Aue beat Wacker Nordhausen. Dassendorf were beaten by Dynamo Dresden 3-0. Arminia Bielefeld squeaking past Victoria Berlin. Heidenheim's 2-0 win over Ulm, which means Ulm couldn't do the upset like they did last time. A silvery Ganvula hat-trick was enough for Borkum to beat Banultal. St. Pauli needed penalties to beat VfB Lübeck. Darmstadt 6-1 winners over Oberneuland. Kiel 6-0 winners over Samroa. Jan Regensburg are out. 3-2 defeat to Saarbrücken. Hamburg needed penalties to beat Chemnitz. Greuther Fürth were extremely poor in their 2-0 defeat away at Duisburg. Wiesbaden were beaten on penalties against FC Köln. That game was 3-0. Karlsruhe beating Hanover in the only Zweite Bundesliga tie, 2-0. And Stuttgart, 1-goal winners over Hansa Rostock. Derek, I know you did a couple of games For the world feed. One of those games was Vejn Wiesbaden against your beloved FC Köln. Köln going through 3-2 on penalties. Tell us what you saw of Wiesbaden and what your impressions were in that cup tie.
Well, the impressions were that Vejn Wiesbaden were up for it. Despite that, they fell 2 goals behind shortly before half-time, and we all thought that's probably the game over. Köln with a couple of very well-taken goals. But Vejn Wiesbaden came right back at them, and in the second half were a lot better, a lot more effective. And maybe in this game we sort of saw what Rüdiger Rehm's tactics are all about. It's very up-tempo, it's very direct at times, certainly in this game. And at home, you always get the impression in Wiesbaden that it's a much smaller pitch than maybe it actually is. It just seems that way. It seems as though the ball is back in play very quickly, and it all sort of happens at this high tempo. So I think that even though they've lost their first two Zweite Bundesliga matches, and many people are rightly questioning whether they're good enough to stay in the second division, having been away for a decade, we saw, you know, real signs of life. So they came back to make it 2-2. They then conceded a third goal in extra time. A great goal for Köln from Louis Schaub, who we all remember from the second division last season. But then, just when we were thinking this is probably over, up stepped Daniel Kofi-Gerret to make it 3-3, and so penalty kicks. And sadly, the penalty kicks were not of a particularly high standard, but that's almost a different game when you think about it. But quite a few plus points. And I think they have solidified their defence a bit with the addition of Benedikt Rucker, who's, you know, very experienced campaigner, was playing in Denmark for Brøndby alongside Sascha Mockenhaupt. Some of the other players who I quite liked, Maxi Dittgen, naturally left-footed, who I think was always creative and always keeping the current players on their toes. And in captain Sebastian Mrovca, Beppo as they call him, they have somebody who just runs his legs off and somebody who's never afraid to put in a challenge, has a pretty good positional sense and sort of drives his teammates on. So even though they're out of the cup, Vejn Wiesbaden, I think it was a very creditable performance and one that maybe can help kickstart them going forward in this Zweite Bundesliga.
Yeah, I tend to agree. The fight back after half-time was very impressive. And even when they went 3-2 down in extra time, they very much were able to gather themselves, assess the situation, and find a goal that in many respects they did deserve. Yeah, as you said, penalties, different ball game, and it's all in the head from there. Eva, I know you haven't seen a whole lot of cup football from the weekend for obvious reasons. Any particular results stand out for you that you want to talk about?
Maybe, for example, Lübeck St. Pauli. I think I want to quote some people here for that game. First of all, Daniel Bubala, who said that they're basically, were standing in their own way. They came back, showed some kind of moral sense, 6 goals, additional time, penalty shootout. And then he said, if you're a fan in the stadium, you're looking forward to this game. And want to quote Turbo Sampaoli here, who just said, nope, you don't want that. You don't wish for that, which is pretty accurate, I think. Pauli, it was a derby in a way against Lübeck, and I think how everything is right now, this would have been the perfect game to just, really start into the season, make some fans happy, really bring some calmness into the whole club, and they completely missed this chance. And this is not really looking good for them, I think, especially then Bubala standing in front of the camera and saying, it's all fine, we just did it for the fans. Oh, might be the wrong way to go. I obviously didn't see a lot of it, but this is something I want to point out. I think we don't have to speak about my team, we just did what we had to, just didn't use our chances once again, but okay.
I'm glad you picked the St. Pauli game because they were particularly poor and it took really 2 quick goals to get them back in the game. They obviously took the 3-2 up. The pleasure on Ahmet Arslan to get the 3-3. Of course, he's ex-Hamburg. But then he missed the penalty, which put St. Pauli through. It's one of those occasions where I can't understand why you'd be like, oh, you know, we hope for these kinds of things. You know, we showed great character. Against better teams or Bundesliga sides or teams that are, you know, of a much higher standard than, no offense, Lübeck, all that would have done, that result, would just create more doubt in the fans' mind that, okay, this is going to be a tough season. Let's not, you know, obviously we were good for a good portion of last season, two-thirds of last season, then we fell to pieces. Lukas come in. It's just not happening. It was a really poor performance, but they did enough. Probably the result that needs to be talked about is Jan Regensburg.
Yeah.
That was tough to take. I know Dennis didn't take it particularly well. I can't help but feel, though, that if Bershikov doesn't get sent off after the 2-1, they maybe hold on and win the game. Because they did well to get back from the 1-0. Bershikov winning the penalty, then taking the penalty. Grutner getting the 2-1. And it looked good. But then he lunges in, gets a second yellow. Manuel Zaitz gets the goal. And then Gillian Timothy Yurcher, who opened the scoring, gets the goal in stoppage time. Derek, I think we can agree here. That was the biggest upset of the cup round. Well, minus Augsburg, but we're a Zweite Bundesliga program. They were poor for good stretches, but when they had the chance to hold on, they do something really silly and they threw the game away.
Yeah, I think silly is a good word because it was a performance that lacked discipline when they most needed discipline. And as you said, Matthew, that they seemed to have the game won. I was sort of watching snippets of it amid the madness of the Konferenz, which is always a wonderful thing to watch on a Pokal Saturday. And I did think, okay, Regensburg are going to see this out now. And then, of course, it was just sort of madness in those last few minutes of the game. And I can't help feeling, though, that, and maybe this is an odd thing to say, I can't help feeling that their priority is going to be staying in the Zweite Bundesliga. And a cup run is nice, and it does bring, you know, I think it's, what, €350,000 into a club for getting into the second round. So that's always very helpful. And Jan are not, of course, amongst the best well-off teams in the Zweite Bundesliga. But I think they got what they deserved, really, in this game. And I'm sure every Regensburg fan listening would agree with that. And just not a very happy ending against the Saarbrücken side. Just wanted it more, certainly, and sensed that the tide was turning in their favour towards the end of that pretty riveting match on Saturday.
Yeah, we do love cup football and all the joys that it brings and all the tension and drama. And, of course, all the teams will wait, those 13 that still remain will wait for the next draw, which will come on the Sunday, and we'll find out who will play who. We'll take a quick break from our cup roundup, and then it is back to league football. Match day 3 preview is in just a moment. We are going to start in Hamburg, the Friday night fixture when they host Bochum. Yes, and we will start our match day 3 preview at the Volksparkstadion in Hamburg. They host Bochum. That game is at 6:30 p.m. local time, 5:30 p.m. if those in the UK. Your TV guys, please do check them. But if you are watching in the UK or in the Republic of Ireland, this game will be on BT Sport 2 and BT Sport Live. So that is good thing. Good for the Bochum fans as well as those in Hamburg. 76 meetings between the two sides. Previously, Hamburg winners on 33 occasions, Bochum 22. But unfortunately, the last two times they met in the previous campaign, both games ended 0-0. So let's pray that maybe we will see some goals. It's been a while since Bochum have actually beaten Hamburg. You have to go all the way back to November of 2009 since Bochum were able to defeat HSV. I will start with you, Eva, on this occasion. You know, it's an interesting tie. Bochum definitely need to get on the winner's sheets. Do you reckon they have a chance of breaking this hoodoo, or do you see the status quo with HSV?
I go with her as well, actually. I, as we spoke about earlier, I do really like the performance. They, as we said before, they seemed a bit more free spirit, just not that much pressure on them, especially with Nuremberg and Hannover failing to really bring in the results. And Bochum, not particular good Pokal game for them. They're a bit loose in the defense, as we saw against Armenia. Yeah, for me, the winner is HSV.
It's hard to disagree. That being said, though, Bochum, in that spell of utter madness where they scored three times against Bielefeld, they showed some really good signs of a team that can find ways to exploit weaknesses. That being said, though, it is hard not to go past Hamburg. They've looked good. I mean, the cup game was a test. They needed a little bit of luck in penalties to get over the line. But I've liked the whole shake-up with them. I like how Dieter Hecking's come in, enforced the culture change. He's going to do it his way. Seems a lot of people are on board with that. So far, so good. Derek, I'm not sure how you see this fixture. Obviously, plenty of history between the two sides. More so Haasvel favoured in terms of results. Do you see the trend going with the North club?
I do. I agree that Hamburg are the favourites going into this game. They weren't at their best in the game in Chemnitz, but they got through. And interesting, you know, the whole Yatta story is one that we could probably do an entire podcast on itself. But the Hamburg fans, you know, rallying around him until such time as we know where this is going to stand, Bakary Yatta or Bakary Daffy, whatever we're going to be calling him in the future, I'm not sure. But Hamburg certainly looking, as Eva said, a lot more free, a lot more dangerous, and a lot less fearful than they were last season. My worries about Bochum, really, especially having seen them in the flesh against Bielefeld, really are at the back. I think they have all sorts of problems at the back, and those problems didn't really get, you know, much better for them in the game against Valnatal in the cup at the weekend. A bit fortunate to win 3-2. I know that they feel that there's a problem at right back, and Eva and I will have watched, albeit from opposite ends of the pitch, Jordi Osei-Tutu, who I was quite intrigued about because he's coming from Arsenal, but really was not at his best and was exploited in that game against Armenia Bielefeld. And so I think they're looking at a different option there at right back. But 8 goals conceded in 3 matches, the alarm bells are ringing a little bit for Robin Dutt, and that's something they've got to sort out. I'm not sure that going to the Volksparkstadion, I'm not sure that's the place where they're going to be able to sort it out against a good Hamburg. So yeah, Hamburg for me.
Clean slate for that one. We might see a similar one. For the next game, Stuttgart hosts St. Pauli. That game is on Saturday afternoon. The two sides have met on 19 previous occasions. Stuttgart victors in 13 of those. When they met last time around back in the 2016-17 season, Stuttgart were victors 1-0. It has been certainly a Stuttgart affair. They've won the last 8 meetings. That spans over 22 years. You have to go back to the 96-97 season. For those wondering, it was only one at that occasion. It was when St. Pauli last beat Stuttgart. Derek, this one almost seems clear cut with how both teams are going. I mean, Stuttgart were largely unimpressive against Rostock, but they got the job done. In the league, they've been a lot more stable. St. Pauli, not many of us have been too impressed with them. Do you expect Stuttgart to be more active and certainly more attacking than they were in the win in the cup on Monday?
Yeah, I watched most of that, actually, against Hansa Rostock. And they had a bit of a point to prove, having lost, of course, to Rostock in the cup last season, 4 previous visits to the Baltic, and they'd lost on all occasions. So Tim Walter's side, I think, went into that game feeling that it was time for, as you might say in German, an Arbeitssieg, you know, not a polished performance, but one that, you know, simply involved everybody rallying around and doing enough to win the game. And yes, they won the game thanks to Al-Gadoui, who came on as a substitute 7 minutes later. He scored the goal, so a little bit of lucky timing there, but he's, of course, scored prior to that this season in the earlier game that you spoke about against Heidenheim. So I think Tim Walter is getting most things right. There's still sloppiness that creeps in. Borna Sosa is somebody who I'm just not sure about. I watched him a lot in the top flight last season, and again, you know, kept giving the ball away in Rostock. So I'm not sure that that's a player that that is going to bring them good luck, good fortune going forward. But I think this home match against St. Pauli is a different kind of game. And as we've discussed, St. Pauli are down on their luck at the moment. Stuttgart's the historical record you spoke about there. I would be very surprised if this is anything other than a Stuttgart win. And actually, I'd go further than that. I think it'll be a comfortable win by possibly three or even four goals.
Ooh, bold. I'm with you on the Stuttgart victory. But yeah, it's the loss of Avivor, who we kind of partially talked about. They really struggled when he was out of the lineup last season. They gave up big margins. So maybe you're right, Derek, because they definitely gave up five against Köln when he was out. They gave up four to Union, and I think they gave up four to Erzgebirger Aue when he was out of the side. So it could be high tide. It'll be interesting to see who they go with in centre-half with him out of the side. Eva, do you tend to agree with us? Do you think Stuttgart will win and maybe with some comfort?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's no way to zoom around that. I'm not really sure. It's about four or five goals. They will win, but it will be like definitely a 2-0 win. I'm a bit careful with saying clear win because it's Stuttgart and Zweite Bundesliga after all, so you can never be too sure about that. Yeah, but for me, as both of you said, it's you can't really look around or look past Stuttgart on this one.
All right, we'll go to our final Group 1 game. Two sides who have had indifferent starts in the league. Holstein Kiel host Karlsruhe. That game is on Sunday, 1:30 p.m. local time. They've only ever met once competitively in history, and you have to go all the way back to the 1979 DFB Pokal, where Holstein Kiel beat Karlsruhe 5-2. Some weird events that happened on that same round of the Pokal. Kaiserslautern were beaten by Sudvest Ludwigshafen. I hope I've pronounced that right. That's a mouthful. And Bayer 04 for Erdogan beat Schalke 2-1. Friedhelm Funkel scored the winning goal. Of course, he is now the Fortuna Dusseldorf trainer. This game is quite interesting on many fronts, Eva. Of course, Karlsruhe are top. 2 wins from 2. They've scored 7 times. Philip Hoffmann has scored 3 of those goals. Do you think they can continue the trend, or do you think that Kiel are due for a league win after a pretty comfortable display in the cup?
For me, it's a really hard one to pick. I think Karlsruhe is really comfortable in the way they're playing. We spoke about that. Philip Hoffmann in a really, really good state of mind at the moment. I think what might be an advantage for Karlsruhe is that they're just more set in as a team already than Kiel is, maybe. We've spoke about new coach. I'm still not really convinced with André Schubert, I have to say. For me, it's still a bit, not really clear to see what he really wants. So I go either with the draw, because you never know with Kiel or a Karlsruhe win.
Yeah, I'm going to sit with the draw. I think the win in the cup, it was a nice easy win for them. Makano and Baku scored a hat-trick and a well-deserved hat-trick at that. You just get the feeling that, it's going to take time with Schubert. He's not of the calibre of Tim Walter. Not being any disrespect to André Schubert, who's, of course, managed in the Champions League with Borussia Mönchengladbach. But they're two different managers. They like to play different ways. Of course, both like to play with tempo is probably the only thing that is similar about them. But it's going to take time. And I think the patience, and we know the Kiel fans are, very patient lot, as it were. Derek, I guess you might be the best indicator for this because you saw the André Schubert model in Darmstadt a week ago. You spoke about the meaningless possession. Maybe you could go through why they couldn't break through the Darmstadt defence.
Well, maybe let's just go back to André Schubert and his ideas. I remember watching him a lot when he was at Gladbach, and I remember listening to him a lot when he was at Gladbach at a few press conferences. And he always struck me as somebody who was sort of more, a scientist than a football coach, if you know what I mean. That it was always about sort of, arcane concepts and sort of trying to be very professorial about it all. And, I think his record as a coach is a bit of a mixed bag. He's not everyone's favourite. And whether he's the ideal fit there, we shall see. I mean, in the Darmstadt game, it was very much a case of, I thought Darmstadt were quite clever about it. I thought they were almost saying to Kiel, OK, you can have the ball. You have the ball in midfield. You can knock it around. You can try and change sides with the ball. But we're alive to what you're going to do. And then we're going to break at pace and we're going to catch you out. And they did. And so that's something that that Kiel have got to do a bit better now. In a home game against Karlsruhe, against a buoyant Karlsruhe, based on what's happened so far, this could be quite difficult for them. So I'm sort of inclined to think that the Karlsruhe run will continue here. Let me put it this way. I don't think Karlsruhe are going to lose the game. Would not surprise me if it's a draw. But I think Kiel have got some thinking to do. And I wonder if André Schubert really is the man for this team. And I think that obviously they are relative newcomers to the rarefied air of the Zweite Bundesliga. And I still have my doubts about Schubert being the right fit there.
Well, there we have it. We'll take a quick break. We'll head to our Group 2 games. We have a tasty Bavarian derby cooking up. Greuther Fürth and Jahn Regensburg in just a moment. Our first game of the Group 2 fixtures is a Bavarian derby. Greuther Fürth versus Jahn Regensburg. This game is on Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Kickoff time, they've met 14 occasions. Fürth have won 5 times, Regensburg 3, 6 draws in total. When the two teams last met, it was a 2-0 win for Greuther Fürth. Both teams bounced out of the DFB Pokal at Saarbrücken and Duisburg. But it's quite an interesting fixture. It could go either way. I'm not sure how you see it, Derek. Two good, solid, honest sides in the Zweite Bundesliga, both coming off bad losses. How do you see this one going?
Well, I was at the last meeting of these two in Regensburg when Fürth prevailed by 2-0, maybe slightly fortuitously. But I think this will be a very competitive game, which will almost have a bit of a cup tie feel to it, given the relative proximity of the two clubs. And I think both with a bit of a point to prove after being eliminated from the DFB Pokal at the weekend. I think Fürth feel they were a little bit unfortunate to go down against Aue in their first match. But, St. Pauli, everybody seems to be beating up on St. Pauli at the moment. So, we'll see if that was more a sort of a direction pointer for them. I think it's going to be quite difficult for Jan in this game. I think going there, again, it will be backs to the wall. And they have started well. I don't think too many would have expected 4 points from 2 matches for Jahn Regensburg with Zeljko Begovic in charge, as opposed to Achim Bajalo. It's a transitional kind of season. But I think this could be a good game to watch, but I think you've probably got to give Fürth the slight edge at home against Jahn.
I'm going to sit on the fence here. A nice draw, being that from the 14 meetings, almost half of those games have ended all square. I feel like I agree with you with the cup atmosphere. I mean, derbies are those special occasions where two teams who just do not like each other for the bragging rights of the city and the state and whatnot. So, looking forward to watching it. But yeah, I can't separate the two sides. I think they've both got their strengths and weaknesses. I'm probably been more impressed watching Fürth. They were very good in the St. Pauli game, but really lacked any sort of energy against Duisburg in the cup. But yeah, I think I'll stick with the draw. Eva, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, I definitely go with the draw as well. For me, it's I think especially Fürth wants to just slow it down a bit after the defeat in the cup, but also like they know what they got, but the first two games were not really similar, I would say, so kind of difficult to predict this one, but I go with a draw. But if I had to choose a winner, I would actually go with Regensburg.
Interesting, very interesting. And from there we'll go to Bielefeld as they host Erzgebirger Aue. That game is on Saturday. And they've met on 12 previous occasions. 4 wins for Armenia, 3 wins for Erzgebirger Aue, 5 draws. The last time the two sides met, it was a 2-1 win. And the last time that Bielefeld lost at home at the Alm to Aue was back in the 2010-11 season. Funnily enough, that was the last time Aue won their opening two matches of the season. Eva, obviously coming off a pretty uninspired but a did enough job against Victoria Berlin in the cup. What can we expect from Bielefeld in this one?
Yeah, so we had 2 draws. I don't want to make it 3 because he need to kind of settle in after a while. I do hope Pieper is going to play still. I don't know why he isn't playing that much, actually. I think Nietzsche was really, really good in the cup, actually. I think he had really good statistics at the end, which is good. Tough game to predict, actually. I think Neuhaus was not really happy with the Bochum result in the end, not happy with the with the cup at all. As I heard, what you can say, Armenia once again never gives up this season. Even if it was their own goal against Bochum, they kept fighting for it. But they really need to use their chances. They didn't do it against Berlin. They didn't do it against Bochum. They didn't do it against St. Pauli. And this can really hurt you after a while. Aue has the qualities with the likes of Testrot, for example, to score goals, or Jan Hochscheid as well. So tough game, I think. But I go with a draw, actually. I don't want one, but I can't really look past it.
Yeah, it is quite interesting. Funnily enough, they do have the goal scorers, Bielefeld, in this fixture. The top scorers both currently play, of course, Andreas Vogelsamma and Fabian Klose. Both have scored 3 times against Aue. But Aue look tantalising. It's weird because we don't expect it from them. As someone who, for the second consecutive year, put them in the relegated territory. They've played some good football under Daniel Meyer. I mean, there was a lot of doubts potentially midway through last season whether he was the guy. It seems like the group have gotten around him. He's made some interesting signings. They look better defensively. And going forward, they've been able to find goals. Testrot is obviously, a bit of a stalwart. Same with Jan Holscheid. Dmitry Nazarov's also found the goals. But also getting young players like your Florian Kruger, who is another ex-Schalke Academy man. Quite interesting. I'm not sure how you see this one, Derek. Do you think Aue can make it 3 league wins from 3?
I actually have my doubts. I think the bubble might be burst this weekend in Bielefeld. And I say that because Aue do have a couple of injury problems that are pretty significant. They play a 3-5-2. But Daniel Meyer, I was reading a statement, said that Dominik Vidra, Zoran Gonta, likely to miss out this weekend, and already minus some key personnel at the back. So I think while the goals have been flowing for Aue, I wonder if they might get the comeuppance defensively in this game, which we'll see about that. And it would be sort of typical of the Zweite Bundesliga that a team like Aue starts so well against all the odds, and then eventually sort of hits the skids, if you like. And I could see that happening this weekend in Bielefeld. Probably not by a huge margin, but if I were to give the edge to either side, I think it would be to Efes Armenia.
There we have it. Two sides who really want to get their campaigns up and running are VfB Wiesbaden and Hanover. They meet at the Britta Arena on Saturday. This is their first competitive meetings between the two sides. So there's not a whole lot of statistical analysis we can give you, besides the fact that they were both beaten in the cup on the weekend. Hanover, the only team with a point out of the two. That was, of course, with the draw with Jan Regensburg. Wiesbaden beaten twice, of course, with Karlsruhe and Erzgebirge Aue. Derek, of course, we've spoken about Wiesbaden with the cup and Hanover. It's been a bit of a slow grind. How do you see this one panning out? Do you think this could be the game that Wiesbaden gets off and running?
I don't think Hanover will relish going to Wiesbaden. I think that they are imbued with confidence after what they did in the cup. Okay, they didn't make it through, but I think they used that as a bit of a showcase for their own tempo football, for their own way of playing. And I think they can give Hanover some real problems. I think that Ditgen, the player who I mentioned earlier on, is somebody who I think can run any defender ragged in this division. Gere does have inspiration in front of goal. And as I say, I think they have tightened the defence up. You wouldn't necessarily know that from the first three games. But I think we're going to see that more and more as the season wears on. And Mirko Slomka's team had better be ready for a bit of a battle, I think, against a team that does need to get started somewhere along the line. Yes, it's still early, but they do need points. And I think that if they can play to their strengths, which they and Wiesbaden showed against Köln are well capable of doing, I think they can take their first point of the campaign against a somewhat stuttering Hanover. So I'm going to say that it'll be a draw here between they and Wiesbaden and Hanover.
I tend to agree, but I feel like this is more into the must-win for Hanover. Slomka comes in, you know, he's part of the good time era from the early 2010s where they were playing Europa League football, they were, you know, mid-table, all things were good in the north. Hasn't started yet. They've been very iffy. They were okay against Stuttgart, but, you know, really didn't do enough to pry their movement defensively. They kind of gave the game away against Regensburg, taking nothing away from them. They did really well to get back in the game. The cup game, they were not really there. Karlsruhe were much, much the better side and deserving of the win. Just feels like they really need the win just to ease the tension with the fans and just to get on the board. Say we've got one win for the 19-20 season. Not sure how you see it either with Hanover. It does feel like they really need to win this game, and especially when they probably expect to do so.
Yeah, I think that's actually the problem, because everyone really thinks around Hanover they need the win. They were pretty poor against Karlsruhe, and yeah, for Wien as a side that got promoted, there is still pressure, but not that much pressure as it is on Hanover, and especially with them playing at home, coming off this not bad game against Köln, they might be in some kind of advantage. I go with the draw as well, but if I had to pick a winner, it would be actually Wiesbaden.
There we go, potential upset alert here. We'll take our final break. We'll get into our group three games, excuse me. And then our fan questions, which we have, which is always a fun part of the program. Dresden will kick us off. They host Heidenheim in just a moment. Yes, and as mentioned, we'll kick off our group three games in Dresden. They, of course, host Heidenheim. That game is on Sunday, 1:30 p.m. local time. They've met on 10 previous occasions. Both sides have won four times, and there's been two draws. The previous meeting ended 1-0 in favour of Heidenheim. In fact, Heidenheim won both meetings in the 18-19 season. Prior to that, it was three consecutive wins for Dinamo. So it is quite an interesting fixture list nonetheless, but Eva, it's one that Dresden so desperately need to win. No points from their opening two games. They did it quite comfortably in the cup, but in terms of league form, this is a game they have to win.
Yeah, but I actually don't really see them winning. I was quite impressed with Heidenheim against Stuttgart. I think we all thought they might not overachieve as they did the last years, but I was really, really impressed of especially end of the first half, for example, or how they came back And Dresden is still on the search to find their football this season. Heidenheim seems much more confident, so I definitely go with a Heidenheim win.
Yeah, I'll back Heidenheim as well. I mean, they've been good in both their league performances. They did enough against Ulm in the cup. It's hard not to think that they're going to win. Dresden look a little bit down and convious. They seem impervious to any sort of attack. And it's hard not to back Frank Schmidt's side. They seem to have found the solutions to the problem areas of players leaving, like Robert Glatzel to Cardiff and Nikola Dovidan to Nürnberg. So I think I'll back Heidenheim with this one. Derek, do you tend to agree that the Baden-Württemberg side will take the win?
I think it's likely, but I think somewhere along the line, Dynamo Dresden's luck has got to change, and maybe the 3-0 win against Dassendorf and the Pokal will give them that lift. It's always a passionate crowd, a home crowd in Dresden, but they can be a bit moody as well if things aren't going so well. And I think a lot to like about Heidenheim, about Frank Schmidt's team, and I think they probably will, on balance, nick this one. So I think a low scoring win for Heidenheim in Dresden.
We'll move to Osnabrück as they host Darmstadt. That is the Monday night kickoff game at 8:30 p.m. local time. If you are in the UK or, of course, in the Republic of Ireland, this game will be shown on BT Sport 3 and BT Sport Live. Of course, if you're watching this in the US, it's on Fox Soccer Match Pass. They've met on 25 occasions and there is really not a whole lot to split between the two. Osnabrück 9 wins, Darmstadt 8 wins, 8 draws in total. The last time the two sides met was in the 2013-14 season. Osnabrück and Darmstadt played a 1-1 draw. So this is the first meeting between that season. Of course, Darmstadt were promoted via the playoffs. You knew it was coming, didn't you? But Darmstadt have had a very tough road of it when they've travelled to the Bremer Brücke. Haven't won there since the 1990-91 season. That was a 4-1 victory. So Derek, of course, Osnabrück coming off the defeat in the cup to RB Leipzig. Darmstadt, victors in the cup, victors in the last time out. How do you see this one going?
I watched quite a bit of Osnabrück and Leipzig. I'm quite taken with Osnabrück. I think they have a lot going for them in terms of their strategy, in terms of their overall play. My question about this game really is, who's going to want the ball? Darmstadt will be, again, quite happy for Osnabrück to have the ball and rely on their counter-attacks. But is that how Osnabrück necessarily want to go about their business this time? We shall see. They had the best defence in the Dritte Liga last season. Looks as though it could be a strength of Osnabrück in this campaign, although I did note that they have two or three key players out. So that maybe gives Darmstadt a little bit of hope. And, you know, Darmstadt have that sort of solid core, somebody like Emmanuel Hoon at the back, who is not spectacular, but sort of is a typical Darmstadt player. I think that Darmstadt, I don't think Darmstadt will lose this game, but I think it's a draw. I think it's 1-1 or something of that nature.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, you look at the size statistically, Darmstadt rock bottom when it comes to possession, 37% is their average for the season so far in the Zweite Bundesliga. Osnabrück, 15th best with 42.4. That's a great, that is a great sort of indicator as how both sides like to play. And it's not going to be like both sides can play on the counter-attack and play without the ball. Someone has to dominate. So in that respect, it might be quite even. I like Darmstadt. I really like Darmstadt. They were clinical in disposing Ober Neuland in the cup. They obviously like to play without the ball, and they did so quite well against Holstein Kiel. I know they've got a hoodoo at the Bremer Brücke, but I think it's their time. I think it's their time that they'll get the victory there. Eva, how do you see this one going? Do you think Osnabrück can make it two consecutive league wins?
No, I actually agree with Derek. I think this will end in a draw. I think Darmstadt will have some advantage throughout the game, but Osnabrück with the Bremer Brücke in their back will fight their way back. So it's a draw for me.
All right, let's head to our last game of match day 3. Sandhausen hosting Nürnberg. This is the other Friday kickoff game at 6:30 p.m. local time. They've met on 9 previous occasions. There's not been a draw. 6 wins for Nürnberg, 3 wins for Sandhausen. When they last met, Sandhausen were beaten 2-0 in the season that Nürnberg gained promotion back to the Bundesliga. Nürnberg have won 4 of the last 5. This game will be quite interesting. Of course, this is a good chance we might see a league debut for Johannes Geis, who joins as a free agent, but previously of Köln, Schalke, and Greuther Fürth. So that makes it quite interesting later on in the season. Eva, do you think Nürnberg can build on that 1-goal win over Ingolstadt in the cup? Or do you think Sandhausen will make it a first league win of the season?
I mean, this is not a really good game to watch, I think. It's really difficult to predict. I think both teams aren't the best this season so far. Nürnberg still, they were horrible against HSV. Bit of recovering against Ingolstadt. But yeah, as I said, really hard for me to predict. Draw for me.
It kind of feels like 0-0. Neither team has really gone on the offensive, per se. 1 goal apiece for the sides. And defensively, of course, Nürnberg have given up the one of the higher sort of rankings. You know, they gave up 4 goals with the defeat at Hamburg. Sandhausen have been much better defensively. But yeah, their problems lie going forward. I think this one has draw written all over it. Derek, how do you see this one panning out?
I think Nürnberg, you mentioned Johannes Geis, who's obviously a very experienced player and comfortable on the ball. I watched him against Ingolstadt in the Pokal. And they're relying a lot on him, I think, just for his overall know-how, for his ability to make other players around him better too, and for his set pieces, which have always been a big part of his arsenal. And lasted the whole game in that last match, which was maybe a bit surprising. So you're looking at people like Geis and people like Dovedan and these slightly better players to make the difference. Now, whether they will, that is a big question against a Sandhausen side that will be organised. Whether they have the inspiration to win the game is another matter. I've seen Nürnberg needing to start something here, especially after what happened against Hamburg. And I think they will just take it by a narrow margin, 1-0 or something of that order.
We will wait and see. That is the end of the Matchday 3 preview. That leaves one thing left unkept. That is it, fan questions. We have 5 of them, so we'll try and get through them in good order. We're going to start with Lee at Lila Daisy J. She asked, everyone seems to assume the traditional big guns are going to fill the promotion spots, but which of the smaller teams do you think can pull an Union Berlin and sneak into the top flight this season? Eva, I'm going to start with you. Who out of the smaller clubs, I'm putting you on the spot, who could pull an Union and find themselves in the top 3?
Very, very difficult to say. I was, as we spoke of recording, you could say, I said it was difficult for me to predict anything in March last season, and we have August. But if I had to pick one that might surprise us a bit, or what we didn't really expect, challenging clubs up top is actually Karlsruhe. I really like them play. And still, for me, Heidenheim is always in the run as well. Those are the two clubs that I might expect are a bit challenging for the big guns, as Lila said.
I'm going to go with Darmstadt on principles that I had them in the top 5 in my season predictor. But also, I liked the way they played when Grimotsis came in at the end of last season, really got them going. The ideas, his philosophies are obviously running off because they seem to be working. He's very meticulous in the way he plans for games. And as Derek said in the Kiel game, he knew what Schubert was going to do, planned for it meticulously well, and it worked to perfection. So I think Darmstadt, their tactical nuances are going to be enough. And they could sneak in. Not saying they will, but if I was going to pick a small club, it would be them. Derek, what's your viewpoint?
Well, my viewpoint is that this is going to be especially difficult for teams other than Stuttgart, Hamburg, Nuremberg and Hannover when all is said and done to break into that top four. I think there will be a sort of a levelling off later with those teams better than the others. But the one side, and if I mentioned this team, that I would look out for again would be Heidenheim, because I think they know what they're about. They have one of the best coaches in the Zweite Bundesliga in Frank Schmidt. And I'd be looking for them to knock on the door. Whether it's enough to be in the top three, say the playoff position, I'm not sure. I would say probably on balance, no, but they might be the closest.
Okay, this question is for you, Derek. This one's from Ben J at BenJack94. He asked, how long do you think Jos Luukai has? Should he be gone before the transfer deadline? And who do you think should replace him? So there's the thinking caps. What's your opinion?
Ooh, well, St. Pauli, I think, are heading for a very difficult season if Jos Luukai stays there. I think most of us are surprised he's even there to begin with. So what do they do? I think when you think about the track record of the club and you think about the idea that sometimes it's quite easy to jettison a manager, I'm not sure he'll be there that much longer if the results continue in this fashion and the performances are as poor. Somebody who might take over, well, I'll tell you who's free. I don't know what your reaction to this would be. How about someone like Boris Schommers, who might be a fit there, might be somebody who can at least solidify them, which is what I think they need. So that might be a name to throw into the pot.
I think the key for them will be if they're going to change the manager, which, you know, as we seem to agree on unison, he shouldn't have been there in the first place, need to find a manager who identifies with the club. It already seems that there's a massive disconnect between Luukai and the main supporter base. Even the players aren't particularly fond of him as a manager. So they need to find someone who identifies with St. Pauli, like how Mats Møller Daly, for example, the fans seem to gravitate towards him, and rightfully so. He perfectly fits the mold of what a St. Pauli player is. They just need to find who identifies as a St. Pauli kind of manager. I'm not sure who that person is, but that's, I think, the way they might want to look at it. Eva, a question for you from Steel Penguin at Steel Penguin 3. What do you think of the three promoted sides from the Dritte Liga? Early impressions is, I think it's at the moment pretty obvious that Karlsruhe are the ones that are leading the charge. Any sort of comments on either of the three?
I think Osnabrück Wiesbaden are your typical promoted sides, you would say. Not outstanding, but they fulfill their duties. They're okay. They still need to find their way into the Zweite Bundesliga football, and I think everyone around the club is calm still. I think especially in Osnabrück, you came off that one lose against Heidenheim, but then won. So I think everything's fine so far for them. So yeah, I think out of those three, Karlsruhe is the outstanding team. Surprises a bit, or kind of surprise package, including Philipp Hoffmann. But yeah, I think no huge surprises for the other two.
As long as he keeps scoring, I'll never hear the end of Philipp Hoffmann. So that's good fun. Derek, this one will be for you from Mike Medici at Mike Medici 1. Will we see the great man Simon Trotter back in the Zweite Bundesliga this season? Not used much by FC at all in pre-season and the Cup so far. What's your opinion?
My opinion is no, because I think Köln will need him. He's not going to start games for Köln with Cordoba and Modeste there. And it remains to be seen exactly what the setup will be in some of the more difficult matches. But indications are two up front for Köln. So that still leaves a need for a striker on the bench. And Simon Terodde has demonstrated that he can be that striker who can score goals as a substitute. So I would think, to begin with anyway, Terodde is going to stay in the Bundesliga. But let's not be surprised if at some stage he's back in the league where he has prospered most throughout his career.
I feel like with him, it's the situation from a couple of seasons ago. Top scorer, and then head into the Bundesliga, and he finds himself on the bench, and then in January he found himself to Köln. I kind of feel like it's a similar situation, but I would not be so surprised if he's back in the Zweite Bundesliga in January, if Köln think that maybe, or he wants to make the move. Three goals away from the all-time Zweite Bundesliga record, so I feel like it's his for the taking. Will it be this season, next season? I'm not sure, but I feel like at some stage in the next 18 months, he'll be back in the Zweite Bundesliga. Last question for you, Eva. This is from our good colleague, Alex, who enjoys a bit of shenanigans and shithousery. How much are you missing Ingolstadt in the Zweite Bundesliga?
Not at all.
I'm pretty sure most of the Bavarian clubs like Jan and Fürth would also echo such sentiments. Same with Nürnberg. I guess the Audi.
They just don't have a fan scene I could miss. Yeah. They don't have a way of playing football I miss. It's no. Sorry, Alex, but no.
Well, I mean, he's now learning the Bielefeld style of football from a couple of seasons ago, as Jeff Sabina is now the manager of Ingolstadt. So that is quite interesting how the tide turns. But that is all for this edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. We hope you enjoyed all the content, the banter, and everything in between. We look forward to your company next week. From Derek and Eva, it's been great to have you along. And until next time, goodbye.